Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining me for another episode of RAM Radio, the webcast. This is Pastor John Coleman in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America, on this wonderful Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, January the 16th, 2012. This is the Biblical Alternative. Thank you for joining me for another wonderful time. Wait a minute, Mark has something to say. Go ahead, talk to the people, Ramsey. It's been a while.
Andrew, why don't you tell us why you called all the way from San Jose?
Wait a minute, wrong
sure.
One.
Well,
hold up, Andrew. I wanted to hear from Mark Ramsey, not from Andrew. All right, you know what? I need to learn how to work my board here. Well, it's a holiday, and it's Monday morning. I'm so glad that you can join me. I got a lot on my plate today. My good friend Elsie sent me an attachment. I guess you can call it some kind of an attachment. It's kind of nice. It was a letter. He asked me to weigh in to let him know what I thought about the Ellen West article on the Marines incident, where Ellen West, the representative from Florida, says, "Shut your mouth. War is hell." I'm going to read the whole article to you. That's going to be the main article that's going to spearhead today's discussion. This, I hope it's more than an hour of a webcast, because I just feel excited. I mean, it's a holiday. I have a whole free day to work in the office, to work on formats, to pull things together. I've given up trying to find a job outside of doing what I'm doing. I just can't. We had a great day preaching yesterday in our home church. It was fantastic. We had a packed house. Now I'm having these mixed emotions about things, because I had all my equipment set up to work fine and everything, but now, you know, I'm having difficulties recording it, putting it up on the internet. But you know how that is. Electronic flibber flabber. My old Sony laptop, I took it to the shop, paid about $60 to have it repaired. They couldn't do anything to it. They said that it's too old. They're afraid that my hard drive is going to crash and I'm going to lose everything. So I had all of my programs transferred to another external hard drive so that I wouldn't lose it. And I came across an article. Written by Michael Spencer, March the 10th, 2009. I'm going to spend the majority part of this webcast talking about this. The name of the article was The Coming Evangelical Collapse. Now, I've been talking about this for about the past year and a half on my own website, and you know I have. I've been telling you that the evangelical church is of no value, no more value today in anything. And I know that that's very offensive to a lot of evangelicals that call yourselves evangelical. I tell people I'm not an evangelical. I am the kind of Christian from the first century. Have you been going to my website? Have you noticed some of the things that I've been putting up on my website? Wait a minute. I'm getting a lot more. Let me see. I'm getting a lot more email coming in. And let's see. I think somebody's responding to me from the Joel Osteen thing that I put up. You know, I'm on this biblical theology and apologetics groups. and I'm just reading some of these answers to my well, okay. All right. But I'm enjoying my little trek through dealing with the young Christians that come on the theological thing. I really am enjoying the back and forths. If you guys ever get a chance to come to my website and listen to the webcast, you will get my full description. My money's kind of tight, so I can't do the hour blog radio. I can't do it anymore. I have to cut back. Everything that I do in terms of things that I want to be documented in my life on what I feel about Christianity today will be placed on johnecoleman.org. It will be placed on my website. I know that I could reach far more people by putting it out on other websites, but what I need them to do is to attach my website as to one of their favorite places. And if they come to my website, they'll be able to find current John Coleman. John Coleman is not, as you know, if you've been coming to my website since 2002, you know that one of the themes that I talk about on my website is that you're going to hear from me within a few days. If you don't hear from me within a few days, I'm very ill or I'm dead. It's just as simple as that. I know that many of you have come to my website to hear what I'm saying on my webcast, and I just want to share this with you. I'm not a sensationalist. I'm a realist. I've always been a realist about my faith in God, about my love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not going to take the view of most evangelicals today and say that if everybody doesn't coincide to the American way of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that I'm not going out that way, because I don't know how God is reaching these people. And I'm going to tell you, I'm quite sure that God is not using some evangelical, polluted, European-style madness church concept to win anybody to God. I'm sorry. That is ridiculous. That whole thing is ridiculous. I recall years ago, I was teaching the brothers in the church some hard theology. I've always taught hard theology to black men in the church. I love doing that. Black men, Hispanics, whites, anybody I can get my hands on. I teach them this hardcore theology. And who would know that today I'd be sitting in the midst of four computers with things, Bible programs up all around me, articles all up on different computers, when I fought like the devil to get my first computer. My first computer was a Radio Shack Tandy thing. I said I'll never get one of those things. Now I got so many external hard drives trying to save stuff. That's called progress, friends. Growing up, moving up, doing things that, you know, I had to do. But anyhow, to make a long story short, come to johnecoleman.org and you'll be able to follow me. Ellen West, and I'm reading this from... where am I reading this from? From Daniel Harper. Daniel Harper wrote about this on January 13th, 2012. So this was a few days ago. This article is taken from the Weekly Standard. You can go to weeklystandard.com under the blog section and you'll find it. Ellen West on the Marines incident. Now, I want to tell you that I am in full agreement with Brother West. Not just because he's a black man, not because he wears his hair the way I used to wear mine, not because he's a chip off the old block. I was an Army guy. He was a Marine. He knows what the military is all about, like I know what the military is all about. And I said on one of my earlier webcasts, I didn't take it as deep as Alan did, because who would listen to me? I'm just a pastor running my mouth. But I'll tell you, when you grew up in the day and age that Alan and I grew up in, there's just a certain way that a man talks. I'm going to read the article to you. Representative Ellen West, Republican of Florida, and note this, I am not a Republican, nor am I a Democrat. I am neither. No, I was last registered as a Democrat years ago, but it's been so many years since I voted. I hope they take me off of their mailing list. Seriously. Because I don't get the material to vote Democrat, because every time they send foolishness to my house, I can't vote for these lame brain people. These people are stupid. As if I needed somebody to tell me who to vote for.
But anyhow, he's a Republican from Florida, former Army Lieutenant Colonel. So, yeah, he was in the Army like me. I thought he was a Marine. He is a former Army Lieutenant Colonel. And he sends the Weekly Standard an email commenting on the Marine video and has given these people the permission to publish what he sent. And I'm going to read to you this blog that he sent and gave them the right to publish. This is what Ellen West says. And I want to tell you that I am in full agreement with Lieutenant Colonel West. He says, I have sat back and assessed the incident with the video of the Marines urinating on Taliban corpses. I do not recall any self-righteous indignation when our Delta snipers, Shokhart and Gordon, had their bodies dragged through Mogadishu. And I remember that incident, and I don't hear any outrage from the press. I didn't hear it. Then Ellen says, neither do I recall media outrage and condemnation of our BlackBerry security contractors being killed. Do you remember that? When they were setting in their a vehicle and the Taliban and somebody came up to them and filled them with holes and then burned the thing up. Remember that? See? And Ellen says their bodies were burned and hung from a bridge in Fallujah. I do remember that. I have some of those pictures somewhere on one of these hard drives here on one of these computers. Then Ellen says, all these over-emotional pundits and armchair quarterbacks need to chill. See, Ellen comes up under the same kind of an era that I come up. They really need to chill the heck out. Because, see, when you put on an Army uniform and you doing what you got to do because you're commissioned by your government to do it, you know, to keep us safe so we can... See, I can jump in my little convertible Lexus and go to the store and get some coffee. The freedom driving around in this society to do these things. Well, the military and all of that fighting and killing and mayhem makes it possible for me to do that. So I guess I'd be one of those armchair quarterbacks myself. Then he goes on and says, does anyone remember the two soldiers of the 101st Airborne Division who were beheaded and gutted in Iraq? I remember that too, Alan. I remember that too. Now, why don't y'all hold on so I can see who this is? Hold on. A nobody of... Usually it is nobody, but here we go. So, yes, I do remember that, Helen West. And I was outraged when our American soldiers were done like that. And I didn't hear any of the Secretary of State or the other people outraged as these men are urinating on bodies. Then Ellen goes on and says, the Marines were wrong. And, yeah, right, they were wrong. You know, this is something that, you know, that was a wrong duty. You don't like to think of our military doing this. And then Ellen says, give them a maximum punishment under field grade level Article 15, which is non-judicial punishment. Because when I was in the Army, I had an Article 15 for insubordinates to a non-commissioned officer. So I know exactly what he's talking about. I was wrong when I cussed my sergeant out while I was in the Army during the Vietnam conflict. This little short sergeant who had come to Korea started giving orders like we were in basic training. I'll never forget. And basically, I whipped him the bird and gave him what for. Well, I lost my stripes, and I got an Article 15. I did not get a dishonorable discharge because before my tour of duty was over, some well-off Americans send their sons. They were supposed to go to Vietnam to join the maddening crowd to be killed, but their parents had money, so they were sent to where I was stationed, and I was let out of the brig in order to train them to become radio teletype operators within 10 days because a certain senator or congressman was going to come to Korea to see if these soldiers were radio teletype operators. And so I was given a strike back because I was a pretty good communications corporal. That's what I was. That's what I did. I was an RTT operator. So during the Vietnam conflict, you got 10 soldiers coming over here, all white, mind you. And my lieutenant went to the brig, got me out and said, John, if you want your stripe back, I said, man, I'm not concerned about no stripe. Y'all railroaded me. Because at that time, you know, a black soldier could not talk to a white sergeant in that way. I mean, racism was still tantamount in the armed forces. And remember, during the Vietnam conflict, well, Korea, really, for the first time, was the first time the American black soldier was allowed to even comfortably sleep in the same barracks with white soldiers. America's come a long way. We have come an awful long way. And I experienced some of that in my life. I have the court-martial papers here with me. Summary court-martial, that's what it was. They gave me a summary court-martial because I refused to salute the lieutenant. I was out of my mind. Born and raised in the ghetto. I'm just telling you like it is. I'm not trying to come across as some prima donna. But I did learn my lesson after 20 days in the brig. They got me out of the brig and had me train these soldiers. So I know what a non-judicial punishment is all about. He goes on and he says in this article, he says, place a general officer level letter of reprimand in their personnel file. This is what Colonel West suggests. And then he says, and have them in full dress uniform stand before their battalion, each personally apologize to God and to country and the Corps, videotape, and concluded by singing the full U.S. Marine Corps hymn without a teleprompter. Now, that may seem like foolishness to you, but no, that's the way the military would have handled it years ago. Hey, man, you can't do this. You know, come on, man, get on up here. And then he says, as for everyone else, this is what Alan West says, as for everyone else, unless you have been shot at by the Taliban, shut your mouth. War is hell. Now, he's right. Unless you've been under fire, unless you've seen your fellow soldiers strung up kill, unless you've seen their guts pouring out of their stomach, unless you've seen one of these vehicles in convoy blown up by one of our missiles that they stole, because they don't have enough sense to put it together themselves. Unless you've seen our American soldiers decapitated, blown to bits, going over there into the deserts of Fallujah and shut your stupid mouth, fill up your SUV with all this petrol that these young boys are going over there fighting for so you could live under this lifestyle that we have adapted. War is hell. Now, I agree. Now, you can call me a nun pastor if you want to, condemn me to hell. I don't care what you do. I will always be a soldier. Thank you, Alan. I really appreciate your words. And Elsie, I hope that answers your question, Elsie, as to what I feel about that. I think that we've taken this mess a little bit too far. A soldier will be a soldier. Soldiers will do things like that. That little fiasco where they had the Taliban or whoever it was dressed up with sacks over their heads, standing up on buckets and all that. Man, that was, come on, man. That's what dudes do. What do you think they do to our soldiers when they get them? You know what? This is what I propose. This is what I propose. You know, here it is. It's Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, right? A lot of us are on holiday, right? We on holiday. Well, why don't you go rent a film call? As a matter of fact, I may go and try if I can find
Barnes and Noble or something open. I want to find somebody that has one of the films, Saving Private Ryan, because I'd like to buy that film. And I admonish those of you people that don't know what war is to watch the first 5 minutes of this movie, Saving Private Ryan. And if you can watch it without tears falling from your eyes, seeing how these American boys, and watch the film very close, because the producers of the film were very accurate. You didn't see no black GIs coming up on the beaches of Normandy like that. You didn't, no. Later on in the World War II arena, you have black pilots flying over Europe and Italy and things like that, because the United States of America had to start putting the black man on the forefront of the fight. And another good movie for you to see, and I've almost forgotten this, one of Denzel Washington's first movies, Glory. You need to watch Glory, where a whole troop of black men just went to, what, did they throw their lives away for nothing? Or were they really, you know, living for freedom? And so, you know, I think that we've become a lily-livered country. Everything is peace, happiness, and love. I pray God that the real men in this country will continuously surface as we deal with situations. Let's deal with another situation. When you go to my website, you see I have that video clip, Why I Hate Religion, But I Love Jesus, spoken word. I don't know who this young fella is, but every time I see him giving his spoken word, he reminds me so much of Mario here with this poetry. But Mario never professes to be a Christian. He just lives in my home with me. But this young man really captures my heart, because he says it like it is. I don't know why any real Christian would come against what this young man is saying. Ah, yes, I do know why. Because he has uncovered that if you say that you are following the man of grace and do not live like the man of grace, you are a hypocrite. I really appreciate that. That young man echoes my disposition about Christianity today. And further on in this webcast, as I go over and take you over some of Spencer's work, you will understand why. I mean, I'm going to read an article to you that was written in the year 2009 and bring us up to 2012 to see if we're there today. Also, I want to admonish you to listen to the Mark Ramsey and PJ welcomes in the new year. That's our first Thursday night webcast. It is up and running strong, and I want you to listen to that webcast. Bob Klink will join us whenever his surgical tools are dry of human blood. Spiritual elitism is the top on my list on the website. Yeah, I'm pushing my website. Why not? And I hope that you're scrolling down with me. Spiritual elitism, part one, part two, part three. I have the whole sermon up. YouTube has given me more time to put up my work, and so I want to take that time and share it with you. Watch Spiritual Elitism. I want you to do that. I have the sermon of last Sunday up. I'll probably take that off today. Very good articles. As a matter of fact, I'm feeling good about this. Man, The Judgment of God, part one, part two, part three. You want to watch that too. And then the series. I think the guy's name, once you watch the series, I think the guy's name is, let me see. I'm going to pause it right here. Yeah, his name is Minister Quiet Buck. Minister Quiet Buck, let me explain why this is not up under my website. Over a year ago, when I put the woman's role in marriage up on the website, and I want to thank Minister Quiet Buck for grabbing that series and putting it up, I used the lead music track that was of a church organ playing, just the first, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds of it. I said, man, this will make for a great, you know, had a Hammond organ playing But what happened is that record was a part of an album, of a secular album. So they had the rights on it, and I didn't get the permission rights, so they took my series down. I didn't think that important because I have almost 500 clips up. But Minister Quietbuck thought that it was a well enough series to put up himself on his YouTube website. So I allowed him to do that, and I thank God for him. If some of you go to his website, you may not agree with everything that he says, but it's not about you agreeing with it. Look what he did. He took some of my work. He didn't have to. And this is what I'm blessed of God about. He took some of my work. This guy's not a black guy. He's a white guy. Took some of my work and attached it to his website. And so people can hear this constitution of the way a woman ought to be. So I just returned the favor and attached his to my website, because I think that it is a very important series that needs to be given some time. And I would ask you to look at, you know, to pay attention to what he's saying. And then watch some of the other things that I have on my website there. You know, scroll all the way down and look at all of the Ram Radio. I mean, gee whiz, all this stuff that I put up. I have more stuff on my website than I ever thought in the year 2002. And I'm up to 324,127 checkout PJs. No, I don't think I've gone to it to boost my count up that much. When I do go to my website, I'm always changing some things or redoing some things. But I want you to take some time and go to the website and check out what can make you healthy spiritually. And let me say this to some of you that come to my website and have difficulty with what I'm saying. Some of you pastors, I want to say this at the beginning of the year, because I know that it's very difficult for certain pastors, especially evangelical pastors, to come to my website and to deal with what I'm saying, because you are a part of the problem. Some of you pastors out there that are a part of the problem. Now I'm gonna start off to let you know how you're a part of the problem. You're a part of the problem because you're trying to guarantee your money. You're trying to guarantee a certain amount of money coming in so you can pay the rent, so you can keep your family lifestyle the way it is without telling these people the truth. You are pacifying them. And once I take you into the article by Michael Spencer, that was written March the 10th. And once we go through that, and I'm going to do that in a webcast, I don't think I'm going to attach it to this. I'm going to just do it all by itself, and so that you can download that one on your own. So I want you to look for the Michael Spencer webcast article, which will be quite different from this 30-minute piece that I'm putting up right now, because I want to give the whole hour and 90 minutes to reading the article, and I haven't finished editing it yet. And check it out. I don't know. Look, I saved this thing on a hard drive somewhere years ago, and now when I read it, I'm saying, oh my God, if this guy did not read it right. I mean, he read it right. It is right where the so-called evangelical church is today. So for some of you pastors that disagree with me, and I know you're probably researching it right now. Well, let me research this guy and see what this article is. See, if you're giving a rush to judgment, you don't want to hear what I'm about to say to you. And what I'm about to share with you is that many of you pastors that listen to me and differ with me, you know you are a part of the problem. I'll give you a prime example. I demand this outline that I preach from. Yeah, I'll do the Spencer thing separate. Let me go to the outline of that sermon. Okay, when God forgives. You know what I did? The main idea of the sermon that I did on January the 15th, yesterday in computer time was to tell people, if you've sinned against God, you go to God and let God forgive you. And the big idea was, don't go to people and expect people to forgive you for what God said that he would forgive you of. Stop going to people, attempting to get people to forgive you of some things that they are incapable of forgiving you. If people can't forgive you, no how. Because if people say, I forgive you, all right. You know, we got this saying in the church where, you know, you're supposed to share your faults with one another. I think you better read those words right. You see, if I am a true believer and if I know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not sharing my faults with somebody that I don't believe can rightly deal with what my faults are. Because if I share my faults with some religious people, and see, there's a grave difference between a religious person and a true Christian. Because a true Christian would come and say, John, what? I don't care whether he's male or female. I say, what? Do you believe that I love you? I don't know. And they would kiss me right on my mouth and say, I love you. You can tell me anything. And it is good as gold in my heart because I love you. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Now, this person that kisses me with this kind of approach is either crazy or telling the truth. And I have to be able to determine what that is as I determine the kiss. Is it a Judas kiss? Hear me, because Judas kissed Jesus, didn't he? Yes, he did. I didn't see Jesus pushing him away. But what did Jesus say? Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? See, Jesus knew, as it is recorded in the book of John, what was in man. And I've been Christian so long enough that I know what's in him too. You pastors, listen to me. I'm still talking to you. Because you see, if you a pastor and you know God, then you know what's in man too. And you know what I meant by that kiss. Some of us have an unction to tell men about what we've done. My sermon was preached yesterday, the sermon, not mine, because nothing is mine, since it was taken from the 32nd Psalm. That's the word of God. That is not mine in any sense. See, and I started off and said that the church has been inundated with seminars and quick fix hooks, trying to find happiness in 7 easy steps. Does that sound like some of you pastors? When all of the circus attempts at satisfaction ends, because you're not going to get it that way, we yet feel like a body aching for forgiveness because you're not getting satisfaction in the evangelical realm or market of fantasy that I call it, trying to discover who or what you are. And that is what the church has done. The church has done that. So then I ask a question. You're following me if you're listening to me on the internet. I says, do we see the need to ask God to forgive us for our shortcomings? My premise is saying, pastors, that you got them people coming telling you about their shortcomings instead of telling God. Well, I tell the people that sit under my tutelage, don't tell me anything about your life. I don't want to hear about it. I got too much mess in mind that I'm trying to get straight. And I sure enough don't have time to be quibbling over some stuff that I don't know whether you made up your mind you want to deal with. You can pick that up, Mario! I just had to tell Mario to get it out on one. Oh, yeah, this is some crazy stuff. I'm not picking that up. I'll let Mario pick it up. Hey, I ain't picking it up. There he got it. He got it. Good for you, son. Now, and then I said, the answer is that can only be answered in the deep resources of the human heart. See, Pastor, that's what I wanted those people to do yesterday. I said, I want you to look deep down in your heart and find out whether you have received forgiveness of your sins from people on whether or not you have received the forgiveness of your sins from God. You see what I mean? But you pastors won't do that, because if you try to twist that text, and I need you pastors to look. I think I'll leave the outline up a few more days, because some of you pastors need to go over this outline and see if you can preach it like that. One of my junior ministers, and I call him a junior minister because he most recently mentioned to me that he's been called into the ministry under my tutelage. And of course, I pray that the man's heart is right and that he knows what God is doing, because I don't know who God is calling what until I see somebody taking some battle blows for Jesus. Like Ellen West, that dude there, see, he knows how to take some battle blows for Jesus. That's the way you do that. And if you study Ellen West, the representative, the Republican representative in Florida, when they changed the zones for the voting things, he was given bum scoop by the GOP. So he's responding like a soldier should. He's not going to betray who he is. But hey, you being black, you're going to pay a price for it in this country. And that still happens. That's still going on. I know that. But you pastors, you're the focus of my input right now. I want to share something with you. People expect more from you than the Pollyanna games you playing behind that lectern or that pulpit, trying to keep those people happy to keep bringing money in. And that's why I wanted to put some of, I'm going to try to put some of the tidbits of that sermon up. I think I was able to download some of it. I don't know what's wrong with my system. I'll figure it out. But please, I want to admonish you to, now I'm talking to the regular people again, I want to admonish you to listen to Michael Spencer's The Coming Evangelical Collapse as I read it. And if you already look for it online, I don't know whether it's still online anywhere, it still may be, you can look for it and read it. But what I'm going to do is to give my commentary behind it and to either affirm or to disqualify what he is talking about, because that's what I do. And I want you to be able to appreciate that. Well, see, my phone is ringing off the hook, but I'm just going to let Mario pick it up. And, hold on, A-Bear. Hold on, A-Bear. All right? All right. All right. Hold on, A-Bear. I'm just finishing up a webcast, man. So, hold on. So, you folk listen for that other cast that I'm going to have coming up very shortly. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio. God bless you. Bye-bye. Elsie.